with the conversion of Paul, and we've already studied about this conversion, Jesus said to Ananias, I'm going to show him how many things he will suffer for my name's sake. And very soon he learned what it meant to suffer, to be ostracized and put on the side. You know, he was converted in Damascus, where he had gone to persecute Christians, but instead proclaim the Christ there in Damascus. He went away into Arabia, came back to Damascus, and there the Jews were waiting for him and tried to kill him, and they watched the gate day and night, but some of the brethren lowered him over the wall with the basket, and so then he went back to Jerusalem. But there he was to receive sort of a not welcome reception from the church, because they had heard that he had been converted, but they weren't sure. And it wasn't until Barnabas took him and said, look, this man has seen the Lord, and he has preached the Christ. And the brethren then received him, but he began to preach there in Jerusalem. And it wasn't long before the Jews, seeking his life, the brethren there thought that they better get him out of Jerusalem. And so they went down to Phoenicia and then sent him to Tarsus, his home city. Now, beginning in chapter 9, verse 32, Luke tells the mind slips. But how Saul, or rather how Peter did some of his last works. You know, we have in the latter part of the book of Acts the works of Paul, but here in the first part we have some of the things that Peter did. In fact, he went on a missionary trip himself. Said that he was preaching in the region that lay between Jerusalem and the Mediterranean. He went over to Lydia and there found a man by the name of Enos. And Enos had been paralyzed in bed for 8 years. And Peter came to him and said, Enos, God heals you. Now get up, make up your bed. And he immediately did so. Well, words of that news of that miracle went throughout all of Sharon. And it so happened at the same time that there was a woman over in Joppa by the name of Tabitha. And she was a working widow. And when she died, they heard that Peter was over in Lydda, and so they sent for Peter. And Peter came, and she was dead, of course, and they had washed her body and put her in an upstairs room. And when Peter came in, the widows were crying and showing him the garments that Tabitha had made, and Peter had all of them to go out. And then he sat down by the bed and looked at the corpse. And it says that he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and saw it was Peter. And she sat up. Peter called the women back up, and they, with great joy, received Tabitha back into their fellowship. Well, Peter at this time was in Joppa, and he stayed in Joppa for some times. Because beginning in chapter 10, we read of how that he was to use a second key to open the doors of the kingdom. You know, Christ said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And on Pentecost, he opened the door for the Jews. But there's a man in Caesarea who was a centurion, that is a captain over 100, of the Augustan band, which was a very honored band in the Roman army. And that this man, this man was a honorable man, one that feared God with all of his house, one that gave much alms to the people, and one that prayed to God always. As the story begins regarding Cornelius, it's the ninth hour of the day, and he is praying as was his custom. Now, the ninth hour, the Jewish day started at 6, so this would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he had a vision, and an angel appeared to him. And he said, Cornelius, send men to Joppa. Your prayers and your alms have gone up as a memorial before God. But send over there for a man called Peter, surname, or Simon, called his surname of Peter. And he is in the house of one Simon, a tanner. And you send for him, and he will tell you words that you need to hear. Well, he called in two of his servants that waited on him, and one of them is a soldier. And he told them what had happened, and he said, now you go to Joppa and find Simon Peter for me and tell him to come. Well, in the meantime, they set out and went all night, traveled all night, and about 12 o'clock the next day came to Joppa. But in the meantime, here's Peter. He is staying there, and he goes up on the roof of the house and lies down, and he's hungry, and he goes off to sleep and sees in a trance of a cloth being knit by the four corners coming down and then spreading out. And he looks at and sees all manner of four-footed beasts and birds and other things. And a voice said, Peter, rise up and eat. And Peter said, no. Nothing common or unclean has entered my body. Well, then the sheet was caught up and then let down again. And this time he heard a voice saying, Peter, don't call common and unclean that which I've cleansed. And then a third time. Well, he's worrying. What's the meaning of this? And at the same time, out at the door of the house, the three men from Cornelius had arrived. They asked about Peter. They just said yes. And the Lord said to Peter, now, go with these men. Don't be afraid, because I've sent them. And so he went down and asked what they wanted, and they told him about what had happened to Cornelius. And he said, okay, we spend the rest of the day here. Tomorrow we'll go. Well, he was wise, because he knew the prejudice against a Jew going to a Gentile home. And so he took six men. The number is not mentioned here, but in chapter 7 or 11, the number is mentioned. But he took the men, they made the trip. And when he came in, Cornelius fell down to worship him. And he said, stand up, I'm also a man. And he said, you know that it's not common, not right for a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile. But God has told me not to call common or unclean anything that he has cleansed. And he's told me that of every nation, any man that fears God and obeys him is accepted. And he said, now, tell me what it is. And Cornelius repeated how the angel had come and told him to send for him. And Cornelius said, well, we are all gathered here today to hear everything that has been spoken to you by the Lord. And there he had gathered all of his kinfolks and friends, and they were assembled in the house ready to hear him. And then Peter said, well, you know how that God decided to bring salvation to the Jews, and how that one came, Jesus of Nazareth, and he was to teach them, and he did teach them, but they rejected him. They killed him. And then he said that God raised him up, and we are witnesses of it. He didn't show Jesus to everyone, but certain of us that were chosen to be witnesses. And then as Peter was saying this, all in the audience there were surprised because the Holy Spirit came on them. And when this happened, why, Peter said, can any man forbid baptism? These who have received the Holy Spirit like we did in the beginning. And of course, no one objected, and Peter then baptized them, and they asked him to wait, stay with them a little while. So the gospel was brought to the Gentiles. Now, in chapter 11, it says that all Judea and the apostles heard that the Gentiles had received the gospel. And Peter had not yet gone back to Jerusalem. But when he came to Jerusalem, the circumcision challenged him. He said, look, you went to the house of a Gentile, uncircumcised man, and you know we don't do that. Well, Peter said, look, the Lord told this man to send for me, and I came and I taught, and they received the Holy Spirit. I remembered how that Jesus had said, you'll be baptized with water, or how John the Baptist said, one comes after me greater, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and said that these six men are also witnesses. Well, that seemed to satisfy the Pharisee or the circumcision. And then they rejoiced that all that the Gentiles had received the gospel as well as they. Now, at this time, Luke turns the whole line of his talking. He goes back to the expression there at the beginning that those that went abroad went about everywhere preaching the word. And we saw how that Philip went to Samaria, but there were others. There were men of Phoenicia and Cyprus that went as far as Antioch preaching, but they were preaching only to the Jews. But certain men of Cyprus and Cyrene came to Antioch and preached to the Greeks. And when they did, the Greeks received them, and all that. There was an outburst of obedience on the part of the Greeks. And when the church at Jerusalem heard this, he sent Barnabas up to be sure everything was all right. And then Barnabas came up, saw the work, and it was good. And he was delighted and said, just stay close to the Lord. And they were doing that. But it said of Barnabas, he's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And then when he saw them, he preached, and they were continuing to respond to the gospel. And he saw that he needed help at that good work. So he thought about Saul. He went over to Tarsus looking for Saul and found him and brought him back. And the two of them then held a year's meeting, and they were continuing to be baptized. And it said that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so the Gentile church grew and expanded. Well, he stops at this point and goes back to Peter. At this time, Herod Antipas rose up against the church, and he arrested James, the brother of John, and killed him with the sword. And when he saw that pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter. And it was the days of the unleavened bread. He wanted to wait until after the Passover, because Jerusalem would be filled with Jews at the Passover, and the death of Peter would probably stir them up, and he didn't want that to happen. But he put Peter in prison and then set aside 16 soldiers to guard him. They had four on each shift, and in the four, two of them sat with him and were chained to Peter. And then two of them are outside guarding the door to the prison. Well, he waited, and then the time came, and the very day before he was to kill Peter, an angel came, and Peter was asleep. He used to be killed the next day, but he was in a deep sleep, and he had to punch him in the side and said, wake up and get your sandals, put your robe on. And the chains fell from his hand. And the guards there did not hear that. But when the chains fell and they went through one door, the door of his cell, and then through another part of the jail, and then finally they went out into the out into the city itself, the iron door that was a door of the prison opened of itself. And then when they got out in the street, then Peter came to himself. The angel left him, and he said, well, the Lord has delivered me from the evil plans that Herod had. And at the same time, there are all of the brethren there in Jerusalem meeting at the house of Mary. Mary was a Jewish and apparently pretty wealthy lady, and the mother of John Mark. And so he went then to where they were, and it's interesting to me. He called out, and Rhoda, the servant there, came and heard his voice, and for joy ran back in and said, Peter's there. They said, oh, you know, I tell you, Peter is outside. And they said, well, it must be his angels. But here they were praying for him, and then he's released, and they can't believe that he's released. Well, then Peter kept on calling, why, they let him in, and he quietened them down and told them what had happened, and then said, "Now you tell this to James, the Lord's brother, and to the others." And so then Peter left and went to hide somewhere, and we don't know where he went at that time. But here, that God decided that Peter was not going to be killed. And when God makes a decision, a man can't violate that. Well, you can imagine Herod was pretty upset with this. And at the same time, he got mad with the men of Tyre and Sidon. And they needed Herod. Now, Tyre and Sidon, great deal of the navy, but they didn't have crops. And so they depended on Herod for their crops. And they made a friend of Blastus, the chamberlain, and Blastus arranged for a time for Herod to speak to the people. Now, the Bible says that when he came out, they said, "The voice of a God and not of an angel," and that God smote him because he didn't give honor to God, and with worms, and he died a horrible, terrible death. But in addition to that, we find that Josephus, who's contemporary writer of the first century, in his writings and described the same event. He said that Herod came out that morning. He had on a silver cloak, and in the sunlight, the light went out from him, and they cried out, "The voice of a God and not a man." And Herod, later, when all of this, the worms being eaten, he came out, "I, who by you say that I'm a God, am now going to die like a man." And he died with great, great suffering. Well, now, the church at Antioch had received some prophets, one of them, Agabus, that said there's coming a day of famine in the land. And this famine is going to be over all the world. And it came in the days of Claudius. And the church there at Antioch determined every man according to his ability to send relief down to the church at Jerusalem, and to do so by the hands of Barnabas and Paul. Well, after the time there, they went back up to Antioch and said, and they had John Mark as their companion. So that brings on down to chapter 13. And here we have in Antioch six men that are mentioned as special prophets and teachers. And the Holy Spirit said to the brethren there, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have appointed them." And this begins the first missionary journey of Paul. And we find that the brethren prayed for them, laid their hands on them, and sent them with their blessing. And Paul and Barnabas went down to, or Saul and Barnabas went down to the Salamis, and or to Paphos, or the and then sailed over to Cyprus. And there at Salamis, they preached in the synagogue, but no account of any conversions or whatever. And they went across the island of Cyprus to Paphos. And there at Paphos, they met this sorcerer, Bar Jesus, or Elymas, and he was a counselor and a consultant to Sergius Paulus, who was the Roman governor of Cyprus. And Paul was teaching, or they both were teaching there, and there are several things that happened. One, you find that from this time on, except there's one time later, that it became Paul. Saul's name was changed to Paul. And then at the same time, the order of leadership turned to Saul and Barnabas instead of Barnabas and Saul. Yeah, Paul and Barnabas from now on our travels. Well, Elymas contradicted what they said about the Lord, and Paul said, "You son of the devil, full of all villainy, when will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And then he said, "You're going to be blind, unable to see for a while. Another will lead you away." And immediately he became blind. You know, this is only one of two times that I can recall in the Bible where a miracle was used to do harm. And this time it was only temporary. He said, "You'll be blind for a season." Do you remember the other time? Man, that the power is used? Well, the only other time that I know is when Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died immediately. But those two times are the only two that I remember. But when they finished there at Paphos, they went across and to Perga, Pamphylia. And there, a very important thing happened. John Mark went home. Why? Well, various reasons, possible reasons have been given. Matthew Henry says he got a homesick. And that may be it. Others have said that he didn't know that they were going to devote that much time to the Gentiles, and he had this Jewish bringing there in Jerusalem. And then some say that the dangers that awaited them caused him to leave. In those Sicilian islands, it had to be after March when they were going, because before that, the passes were all clogged up with snow from the mountains. And so they could not have gone, but... And then it was a very dangerous country, very wild. But in any case, to Paul, he had one name for Mark: quitter. Whatever he thought, whatever Mark thought, he had a reason for going back. Paul did not. And then, as you know, later that was going to cause trouble. Well, they came in to Perga, a chief city there in Pamphylia. You have two Antiochs. The Antioch that was in Syria, and then the Antioch that was there in Pamphylia. The one at Syria, about 400 miles north of Jerusalem, and the one at Pamphylia, much further away. Well, when they came there, after the reading of the law and the prophets, well, then the leaders in of the synagogue said, "Brethren, if you have any lesson, say on." And Paul told the lesson, and in the lesson talked about Jesus and his coming, and the Jews rejected him. And the Gentiles especially were interested in Paul and some of the noble women. But the people, next Sunday, they asked them to stay over a Sunday. And the next Sunday, almost the whole city had gathered. And the Jewish leaders were jealous of them. And they began to refute or try to refute what was saying. And Paul said, "Since you have refused the gospel, counted yourself unworthy, while we shake the dust off our feet." And as Christ did in the limited commission, and he told them to do, so they shook the dust off of their feet again, and then off of their feet, and went across then to the city of Iconium. And at Iconium, they received a good reception, and it says that Paul so spake that a number of them believed. Well, this was going well there, and the work was, they were doing a good work. But then here these Jews catch up with them. And they stir the people up, and also others there in Iconium join them. And then when they learned that they were about to be punished, well, the two men, Paul and Barnabas, went on down south there to Lycaonia, the city of Lystra. Well, at Lystra, there's a man that was crippled. And they spoke to him and said, "Arise." And he had never walked, but immediately he did walk, much like the one back in Jerusalem at the temple. Well, when the people of Lystra saw that, they said, "Well, the gods have come down." And they called Barnabas Hermes, or called him Zeus, the chief of the gods, and Paul Hermes, because he is the chief spokesman. Well, when they came with their oxen and their garlands and about to sacrifice to them, well, they tore their garments, barely able to stop them from deifying them or offering sacrifice to them as gods. But instead, they waited. They were able to stop them. And then when all of that calmed down, here these mad Jews that followed them all along came, changed the whole attitude. And instead of looking upon Paul as Hermes the god, they stoned him and dragged him out of the city and left him for dead. You know, I wondered if that was a miraculous recovery on the part of Paul or just what. I don't see how one could recover from being dragged out of the city and thought for dead, and then to be able to go on, get up the next day and go on over to Derby. I remember back during World War II, the conscientious objectors could work at one of the Puritan camps, and that would count as service for them. Well, there's a man, Corbett Bishop, who was up in some part of Alabama. He came to the school one day, and told what he had done, and there they had to pay for their room and board. And so he told them, said, look, we are just slaves here. And we're not going to put up with this, or I'm not. And he wrote on a bulletin board, at 3 o'clock tomorrow, I'm leaving. Well, he left, went to New York, and one day in New York, two FBI agents came up and took him by the arm. And he said, what are you doing? I'm a free man. And he said, no, you belong to us. He said, well, if I belong to you, you take me. And he just sat down on the sidewalk. And these agents, he got him one leg at a time and dragged him to their car and then took him off to jail. But anyway, he said, you don't know what hot is until you've been dragged down the sidewalk. Well, they dragged Paul out. And I don't see how he could have recovered from that in one day. But anyway, the next day he went on over to Derby. And then at Derby, they turned around and came back on their journey. And as they came back, they were appointing elders in every church. So the brethren developed in a hurry there at a quick time. And they came back, and they did stop at Perga on the way back. And then from Perga, then to the other places, and then back to Antioch. And there they gave a report of what had happened on the journey. And some of those came and Judaizers and said, look, these Gentiles can't be saved unless they become circumcised Jews, and then they can be saved. Paul said, no. No, God worked miracles by us. God sent his blessings on those men there. And he did nothing about, they said nothing about their becoming becoming Jews and having to act like Jews. Well, this great dissension arose there. And with this dissension, why, they said, well, we need to settle this issue. And so they then decided to send Barnabas and Paul down to Jerusalem for this Jerusalem conference. And people gathered there. They had the apostles, they had the elders of the church there at Jerusalem, and other interested individuals. And they said the question, do Gentiles have to be proselyted to the Jewish religion to be saved? Well, Peter was there, and Peter said, you know how that great while ago God made choice of me that I should take the gospel to the Gentiles. And nothing was said about making them proselytes. And said, my judgment is that we lay on them no greater burden than that. Well, then Paul and Barnabas told of their action among the Gentiles, and nothing said about their being proselyted. And then James, the Lord's brother, who was an elder there at the Jerusalem church, much respected man, he said, look, the prophets have told that this time is coming, that the gospel would come to all on an equal basis. And so we need to leave them alone. And so they decided that pleased all of them, and they decided that they would write a letter and send it to these Gentile churches so that they would not they would not have to, the Gentiles would not have to be proselyted. And then they sent Judas and Silas along to give the word that such was true. And Silas stayed and Judas went back to Jerusalem. But Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and see how the brethren are doing. And Barnabas, sure, let's do it. And we'll take John Mark with us. Paul said, no, you won't. He's a quitter. He's not going back. And they had these two men had a strong discussion, so strong that Barnabas said, I'm taking John Mark, and I'm going back to Cyprus and then retrace that. And Paul said, well, I'm not going with you. I'm going to take Silas with me, and then we're going to start the opposite at the very end of that. And so this is the time of the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey, and a journey we want to follow them with next time. Good to have all of you here. God bless you for the week.